Into the book of the Revelation. That's the last part of chapter 11. Revelation chapter 11. And this is after the two witnesses have been killed, and they lie in the streets 3.5 days. And the Spirit of life from God entered into them, and they stood up upon their feet, and great fear fell upon them which saw them. And they heard a great voice from heaven, verse 12, saying unto them, Come up hither. And they ascended up to heaven in a cloud, and their enemies beheld them. As I read this, that term, come up hither, that was used back in the fourth chapter. The Lord said to John, come up hither. Now, if I had to come up hither, that I would probably locate with the so-called rapture would be this one. Yeah, no. So we're on tape, now. That's good. But I would locate it with this one, if it was verse 12, chapter 11, verse 12. And they ascended up to heaven in a cloud, and their enemies beheld them. That looks like it could be with the sixth chapter and the sixth seal. Now, it kind of looks like this all comes out here. And the same hour was there a great earthquake, and the tenth part of the city fell. And in the earthquake were slain of men 7,000, and the remnant were affrighted and gave glory to the God of heaven. Now all of these things very well could accompany those things that we see at the opening of the sixth seal. And then he says the second woe was past, and behold, the third woe cometh quickly. And the seventh angel sounded, and there were great voices in heaven, saying, The kingdoms of this world are become the kingdoms of our Lord and of his Christ, and he shall reign forever and ever. Now hold your place there and go back to 1 Corinthians 15. Verse 50. 1 Corinthians 15, verse 50. Now this I say, brethren, that flesh and blood cannot inherit the kingdom of God. Neither doth corruption inherit incorruption. Behold, I show you a mystery. We shall not all sleep, but we shall all be changed. And that is to bring that about, that no flesh and blood is going to enter to heaven. And no corruption is going to inherit incorruption. So verse 52, in a moment, in the twinkling of an eye, at the last trump, for the trumpet shall sound, and the dead shall be raised incorruptible, and we shall be changed. For this corruptible must put on incorruption, this mortal must put on immortality. So when this corruptible shall I put on incorruption, this mortal shall put on immortality. Then shall be brought to pass the saying that is written, Death is swallowed up in victory. So, this is the resurrection of the righteous. And when is it? Well, it's going to take place fast in a moment, in the twinkling of an eye. But when? At the last trump. All right. So, over here in chapter 11, the seventh angel sounded in verse 15, and there were great voices in heaven. And this is the seventh trumpet, and it's the third woe. So it's the end of this series. All right, so at the end of the seventh trumpet, it says, the kingdom of this world are become the kingdoms of our Lord and of his Christ, and he shall reign forever and ever. So, This looks like the culmination of something. At any rate, it is the last trumpet. Now, unless you want to just say, well, Paul didn't know what he was talking about. I don't want to say that. Not intending to say that. Or if you want to say, well, it didn't really mean anything. I'm not willing to say that. Every scripture is given by inspiration of God and is profitable. So why did he say at the last trump? It must be because it takes place at the last trump. As being as there's no other series of trumpets in the whole Bible, except right here. And you've got definitely first, second, third, fourth, fifth, sixth, and seventh, the last trump. Now, that's all I can tell you. The last trump, here's the last trump. And the 24 elders, verse 16, Revelation 11, 16, were set before God on their seats, fell upon their faces and worshiped God, saying, we give thee thanks, O Lord God Almighty, which art and washed and art to come. Now that is the definition of Jehovah. What does Jehovah mean? That's what it means. The eternal self-existent God who always was, who is, or ever is to come. That's the definition. Because thou hast taken to thee thy great power and hast reigned. Well, you have things stated by anticipation. They're sure to happen. They're in the process of happening. They're not completed yet, but they're happening. They're going to happen. Thou hast taken to thee thy great power and hast reigned. Well, not totally, but it's come to pass now. And the nations were angry, and thy wrath is come, and the time of the dead, that they should be judged, that thou shouldst give reward unto thy servants, the prophets, and to the saints, and them that fear thy name, small and great, and shouldst destroy them which destroy the earth. And so, all of these events, they take place in between times, the end of the great tribulation and the beginning of the wrath of God. So this is a great interval. And the temple of God was open in heaven. It wasn't just built, it's always been there. And there was seen in his temple the ark of his testament. There's the real ark of the covenant. And there were lightnings and voices and thunderings and an earthquake and great hail. So those are things that come down to the earth. So I put this all at the time of the end of the great tribulation and the beginning of the wrath of God being poured out on the earth. Now, that's my opinion. That's where it looks to me like that it is. So it looks to me like we've got a second coming and a rapture here. That would place it back with the opening of the sixth seal and back up to here. Now, my problem is this, is that if I'm right, then the trumpets sound during the first half of the 70th week. I hope I'm wrong. But I don't know how you get around that. Well, anyway, then we go to chapter 12. And there appeared a great wonder in heaven. A woman clothed with the sun and the moon under her feet, and upon her head a crown of 12 stars. Now, I'm sorry to tell you that there are some so-called conservative commentators that say these are all pagan signs. I don't think God has to borrow from the pagans. Whatever these are, they're from God. Now, and what is the time frame here? Is this at the end times, or has this kind of gone back in time? I think it's gone back in time, and I'll tell you why. This woman, a great wonder, that's the same aeon, that's the Greek word, sign. Anytime you see the word sign there in the New Testament, that's the word, a great sign in heaven. And again, I say it's not a pagan sign. It's what God says. A woman clothed with the sun. How would she be clothed with the sun? Well, you'd see her be surrounded by sunlight. And the moon under her feet. Well, that would tell you how big it is. And upon her head, a crown of 12 stars. I think the 12 stars are symbolic of the 12 tribes. All right. And she, being with child, cried, travailing in birth and pain to be delivered. Now, some of these same commentaries, they say, well, that's the church. And how they determine that, I'll never know. I don't think they know what a church is. But see, those same people will talk about the church in the Old Testament. There wasn't one. There were assemblies in the Old Testament, but there was not a church of the Lord Jesus Christ in the Old Testament. As a matter of fact, that's the biggest difference between the Old and New Testament, is the way God people serve Him. In the Old Testament, we've got the tabernacle and the temple. In the New Testament, we've got the church. And there appeared another wonder in heaven, or that's the same word, sign, Simeon. And behold, a great red dragon, having 7 heads and 10 horns, and 7 crowns upon his heads. And his tail drew the third part of the stars of heaven and did cast them to the earth. And the dragon stood before the woman, which was ready to be delivered, for to devour her child as soon as it was born. Now the dragon. Well, I thought it might be good to look at this. Look back at Revelation 20. Chapter 20 and verse 1. I saw an angel come down from heaven, having the key of the bottomless pit and a great chain in his hand. And he laid hold on the dragon, that old serpent, which is the devil and Satan, and bound him 1,000 years. Now there's the dragon. Do we have to wonder who this dragon was? All right. Now what is the dragon? Is the dragon a mythical creature? No, it is not. It wasn't here, and it's not anyplace else. As many times, I think it's about 28 times, that the word dragon is used in the Old Testament. And a few times it's used as a sea monster. Tinium is the Hebrew word. But it's talking about a serpent-like creature. And I believe that the dragon is a dinosaur, what we would call a dinosaur. But that dragon represents Satan. You can't deny that. That's what in Revelation 20. Look at Psalm 91. Verse 11, because this quote in the New Testament. For he shall give his angels charge over thee to keep thee in all thy ways. they shall bear thee up in their hands, lest thou dash thy foot against a stone. Now, you know, that's what the devil quoted to Jesus. Thou shalt tread upon the lion and adder, the young lion and the dragon shalt thou trample under feet. He didn't quote that. There's a dragon. Now, is a young lion a mythical creature? Not at all. Is the adder a mythical creature? Not at all. So why would anybody think that the dragon is a mythical creature right amongst those literal creatures? All right, so you got another one in Isaiah 51. In verse 9. Awake, awake, put on strength, O arm of the Lord. Awake, as in the ancient days and the generations of old. Art thou not it that hath cut Rahab and wounded the dragon? Rahab wasn't mythical. And neither is the dragon. So the dragon is not talking about a mythical creature. It's talking about something that was recognizable. About a real serpent-like creature. But anyway, so here's this great red dragon. Now we know that the dragon itself is not mythical, but this sign is representative, having 7 heads, 10 horns, and 7 crowns upon his heads. And that's the prince of the power of the air. That's all right. And his tail drew the third part of the stars of heaven. Now this is when Satan, Lucifer, fell from heaven. He took with him angels. They became demons. And there they are. The third part of the stars of heaven. And it cast them to the earth. And the dragon stood before the woman, which was ready to be delivered, or to devour her child as soon as it was born. So, and she brought forth a man child who was to rule all nations with a rod of iron. And her child was called up unto God to his throne. There can't be any doubt who that child is. It's Jesus Christ, the man Christ Jesus. So the church did not produce Jesus Christ. Jesus told the Samaritan woman at the well, salvation is of the Jews. He was a Jew. He came forth out of the line of the tribe of Judah. So this woman has to be Israel, and the 12 stars on her head have to be the 12 tribes. Now, leastwise, that's the way it looks to me. I don't know of any reason. I know Tim gets on something. And he knocks the fire out of it. What was it this morning? I'll think of it in just a minute. I got too many things running through my head. You knocked the fire out of somebody on proving that they couldn't be right. And they're telling, what was it? They're trying to tell that this one is this, but no, it couldn't be because this is it. You did that this morning. Good stuff. I'll think of it in just a minute. Yeah, Rahab, that's what it was, yeah. Yeah, that's what, yeah. And so this my notion, that this woman could not be the church. Jesus produced the church. The church didn't produce Jesus. Now, Jesus came through Israel, a Jew, the tribe of Judah. And that's what it is. And so that the devil trying to destroy him, well, how did the devil try to destroy him? Well, all the way from Cain, all the way back to Cain. And then even here, killing the boy babies while they went down to Egypt. You know, so, and the woman fled into the wilderness where she hath a place prepared of God that they should feed her there 1,260 days. I believe there's probably about three major events intermixed here in this chapter. I don't think I'm capable of straightening it all out, but I believe there's three that are here. So, there was war in heaven. Michael and his angels fought against the dragon, and the dragon fought and his angels, and prevailed not, neither was their place found anymore in heaven. That obviously goes back to the fall of Lucifer. But you've also got the birth of Christ in here. And that great dragon was cast out, that old serpent called the devil and Satan, which deceiveth the whole world, and was cast out into the earth, and his angels were cast out with him. That obviously is the fall of Lucifer, the casting out of Lucifer. He said, now when did that take place? Well, I believe that was in eternity, so I can't tell you when. It wasn't in time, it was in eternity, so it was when it was. And now, he said, I heard a loud voice saying in heaven, now has come salvation and strength in the kingdom of our God, and the power of his Christ, for the accuser of our brethren is cast down, which accused them before our God day and night. Now he's talking about another casting out. This hadn't happened yet. Where is Satan today? He is the prince of the power of the air. He has free reign in this world. And they overcame him by the blood of the Lamb and by the word of their testimony. They loved not their lives unto the death. That's the brethren. And the accuser of the brethren is Satan. That's what Satan means, or Diabolos. He's the accuser. Dia, through. Bolos, throw, through accusing. That's what the devil is. He's the accuser. Look what he did to Job. He's the accuser of Job, wasn't he? He's the accuser of our brethren. He says, now therefore rejoice, you heavens, and ye that dwell in them. Woe to the inhabitants of the earth and of the sea, for the devil has come down unto you, having great wrath, because he knoweth that he hath but a short time. Now that jumps us ahead into the future. This is another casting out. And when the dragon saw that he was cast into the earth, he persecuted the woman which brought forth the man child. That's Israel. And to the woman were given two wings of a great eagle, that she might fly into the wilderness, into her place where she is nourished for a time. That's a year. Times is 2 years. Half a time is half a year. 3.5 years from the face of the serpent. And the serpent cast out of his mouth water as a flood after the woman, that he might cause her to be carried away of the flood. And the earth helped the woman, and the earth opened her mouth and swallowed up the flood which the dragon cast out of his mouth. Was this literal water, or was this a flood of persecution? I think it's persecution. And the dragon was wroth with the woman and went to make war with the remnant of her seed. Is that the 144,000? I think it is. Which keep the commandments of God and have the testimony of Jesus Christ. So this is what's going to take place in the second half of the 70th week. Now, that is in our interval. Now we're getting into the actual time of the wrath of God. So here we go in chapter 13. And I stood upon the sand of the sea and saw a beast rise up out of the sea, having seven heads and 10 horns, and upon his horns 10 crowns, and upon his heads the name of blasphemy. Now you compare this with verse 3 of chapter 12. Behold, a great red dragon having 7 heads, 10 horns, and 7 crowns. This one has 10 crowns. Well, there's Satan in verse 3 of chapter 12. Who is this? This is not Satan. This is the Antichrist. The beast rising up out of the sea. Looks very much like his daddy, but just a hair of difference. And he's got three more crowns on his heads than the dragon has. And the beast which I saw, verse 2, was like unto a leopard. A leopard, you have the body of like a lion, but spotted, a leopard. His feet were as the feet of a bear. If you ever seen a grizzly bear or Kodak or a polar bear, see their feet, you could recognize that you wouldn't have to be very much of a trapper to follow those tracks. They're easy to see. So he's got the feet of a bear, huge feet with claws. And his mouth as the mouth of a lion. Well, you see King Leo, and his roar is awesome. And the dragon gave him his power and his seat and great authority. So his seat, his authority, and his power comes from the devil. Dragon, but that's the devil. And I saw one of his heads as it were wounded to death. And his deadly wound was healed, and all the world wondered after the beast. Now, who is this beast? A lot of people have a lot of different ideas. And I don't know that I'll ever be able to settle it. When I see it realized, fulfilled, I'll tell you. But then you won't need me to. You won't be asking me. Then you'll know just like God knows. I saw one of his heads, as it were, wounded. Now, how many heads did this dragon have on it? It's seven heads. Well, generally that head represents a government, a political power. This beast is at the head of these governments. And one of these heads was wounded to death, except his deadly wound was healed. And as a result, all the world wondered after the beast. They were amazed. Now, this deadly wound on this head, who was this? Many people have thought in the past, and I probably agree with it too, that this would be the revived Roman Empire. Now, way back in, anybody tell me when the Roman Empire fell? Anybody got that date? Raise your hand if you got that date. How about when the Roman Empire began? 190 BC, when they began. Recognizable world power. Everybody agree. All the historians agree with that. And when the Roman Empire fell, it was 476 AD. Add 190 and 476. Somebody real quick. 666. That's how long the Roman Empire was recognizable world power. 666 years. Now, does that bring to mind anything? Well, it should. All right, so we'll encounter that number again. Anyway, did the Roman Empire die? Well, more or less, probably less than more. More or less than more. In 476, something happened. But if you remember that image from Daniel 2, you had the gold head, that was Neo-Babylonia, Nebuchadnezzar. You had the chest and arms of silver, Medes and the Persians. Belly and thighs of brass, Macedonians or Greeks. And you had the legs of iron. So the Roman Empire is represented by two distinct images. One's not more than the other. I believe, I may not be right. I could be wrong. But I believe, because of what we know, I believe that that indicates the Roman Empire was political and religious. Because very early on, Constantine, in 325, he amalgamates so-called Christianity into the Roman Empire. And by the time 476 arrives, political Rome is under attack by the Visigoths, the Ostrogoths, a little bit the Burgundians and the Vandals and the Huns, Attila. Matter of fact, Attila the Hun got even to the palace door in Rome. And Pope Leo was supposed to have gone out and just stopped him, talked him out of it. I don't know. That's what they say. But anyway, that's about 450. But by 476, they say Rome falls. However, religious Rome definitely did not fall. Religious Rome, from that time on, picked up tremendous strength, because religious Rome began ruling the rulers. By 800 B.C., 300-something years, 24 years, one of the great battle kings was Charlemagne. That literally means Charles the Great. Y'all remember this, any of this from school? And you kids remember any of this from school? You ever get into this? Charlemagne? You don't? Neither. Now they teach them how to be queers. That's what they do. That's what they do in our schools, teach them how to be queers. That's exactly what they're doing. Well, I get so sick of that. They ought to be giving them an education, what they ought to be doing. Anyway, Charlemagne, Charles the Great, 800 B.C., AD, 324 years after so-called 476 fall of Rome, he comes to Rome, and the Pope at Rome, he has him bow in front of him. There's palace mayor, what they call Charlemagne, bows in front of the Pope to kiss his ring. And when he stands up, the Pope places a crown on his head. And here's what the Pope says to him: "Hail Caesar." That's how you say Caesar in Latin. Caesar. You've heard that name too. "Hail Caesar, Emperor of the Holy Roman Empire, Defender of the Faith." Now, if the Pope can put the crown on your head, the Pope can also take the crown from off your head. And he does that a little time later to prove that he can do it. Anyway, now, is the Roman Empire dead? Well, according to history, it's not. But it was absolutely joined there, the Holy Roman Empire. And you check out the Holy Roman Empire, you don't hear much about it in regular world history. It's there, but you don't hear a lot about it. That Roman Empire ruled up until the Kaiser Wilhelm of Germany. And then they lost the First World War, and Adolf Hitler rises up, and by 1936, thereabouts, he's already taken over as the chancellor, and then later on as the absolute dictator over Germany, and he institutes the Third Reich. Reich is empire. Now, what are those three empires? Everybody hears about the rise and fall of the Third Reich. That was, what's his name? Wrote the big book, The Rise and Fall of the Third Reich. I can't think of his name right now. Anyway, I haven't looked at it for a long time. But there's several that wrote those books about the German Nazi empire. But Adolf Hitler, he claimed he had the Third Reich. Well, and he said that Reich was going to be 1,000 years. The 1,000-year Reich. Was that the first time? He had Albert Speer, his official architect, designing all of his buildings of the Third Reich to last for 1,000 years. As it turns out, it didn't last 1,000 years. It just lasted till Russia and the Allies bombed Berlin under insignificance for a while. Anyway, so the Second Reich was the Reich of the Kaiser of Germany. Didn't last 1,000 years, though. But now the First Reich was the Reich of Charlemagne. And his Reich did last 1,000 years. So Adolf Hitler was following in the footsteps of Charlemagne. That's why it's significant. But you don't hear a handful of people all over the world that know anything about that. So, this deadly wound that was healed, and all the world wondered after that. Well, I think you can still see that wound is there. It hadn't been healed yet, but it will be. Anyway, so whatever you can do with all of that, I think that's all real history, and it figures in here. All right, so, and they worship the dragon. When this deadly wound that was healed, and all the world wanders after the beast, and that is the Antichrist, the man of sin, the son of perdition, and they worship the dragon, which gave power unto the beast. Well, we worship God, who gives power unto the son. And they worship the beast, saying, who is like unto the beast? Who is able to make war with him? So now the world is in lockstep, wandering after and worshiping after the Antichrist, the beast. And there was given unto him, that is the beast, a mouth speaking great things and blasphemies. And power was given unto him to continue 42 months. Now, a lot of these things you see here, they just become obvious at a certain point. What has become obvious here is a beast rises up out of the sea, and there's no doubt you can't mistake him for who he is. But now, has he just arrived, or has he just been revealed? I say he's just been revealed. And look what this says. Power was given unto him to continue 42 months. He's already been here. And what does the first seal say? Here comes a rider riding a white horse. Had a bow but no arrow, and a crown was given unto him. I say that's when the Antichrist comes on the scene. At the beginning of the 70th week of Daniel. Well, what did look at 2 Thessalonians 2? That certainly enters into this. 2 Thessalonians chapter 2. Verse 3, let no man deceive you by any means, for that day shall not come except there come a falling away first. And what's the second thing? That man of sin be revealed, the son of perdition. If he says the man of sin is going to be revealed, and he does, then I'd suggest that we ought to look for the revealing of the man of sin. Now, he wasn't revealed in the first seal. I think he was there, but he came in as a deceiver, pretending to be the Prince of Peace, pretending to be one that brings peace. And if it were possible, he would have deceived even the very elect, but not possible, because the Lord does nothing that he doesn't reveal to his people. But when would the falling away come? Well, it would come already at the end. And what would the falling away bring forth? The revealing of the Antichrist. That's what. In other words, the world has got to get so bad before they would fall down before the Antichrist and worship. Now, I don't know what's going on with the NBA, but they're trying to fall down and worship China. If you kept up with that, what's going on over there? That's because of the almighty dollar. They've turned against the United States over China. And anyway, it'll get here, and it's almost here now, that people would bow down and anything just so I don't have to do without. It's almost here now. But I believe this is the revealing of the Antichrist right here. And power was given unto him to continue. He didn't just start. He's continuing on. 42 months. And he opened his mouth in blasphemy against God to blaspheme his name and his tabernacle and them that dwell in heaven. He's not held back with anything now. He feels like he's got his head now. He's going to do what he wants to do right now without any restraint. And that's when that's all over and the wrath of God comes. He opened his mouth in blasphemy against God to blaspheme his name and his tabernacle and them that dwelt in heaven. And it was given unto him to make war with the saints and to overcome them, and power was given to him over all kindreds and tongues and nations, and all that dwell upon the earth shall worship him, whose names are not written in the book of life of the Lamb, slain from the foundation of the world. If any man have an ear, let him hear. It'll be a rough time for those that are here. The 144,000 will have a shelter. I hope we're gone. I really, really do. It'll be a rough time, terrible time. Anyway, that's what's coming. Let's all stand.